our next guest, and that's Bob Bingham. And Bob, I want to welcome you back to the Roadhouse. I got to get your proper mic on. There you go. Welcome back. Now you're here by yourself. It's great, huh?
Yeah. I left Gordy at home today.
Yeah, he couldn't come out to play.
Well, we played. We just played the other night at Bluefin, which we do every Wednesday night all summer. We'll be down there.
Mm-hmm. Are you speaking of
Gordon Thorne, who's from Finland, as are you, Bob, now, part of the time.
Well,
in
I'm
that
from
area.
Isabella.
Isabella.
That's a big distinction.
For us, that's close
That's
enough,
a big yeah. distinction, I think, Mark.
It's a fairly large distinction.
Okay. Yeah, we just know it's over that way.
There's still a bar in Isabella, but that's about it.
Okay. Yeah, but it's great to have you here. And this is, how many years have you been playing music now?
50.
50 years.
That's 50 years since what? What marks the beginning?
When I bought my first guitar when I was 15 years old. So I realized that when we were doing this album, I thought, my gosh, I bought my first guitar at age 15, and I was in a band. A week later, because we all bought in, you know, one guy bought a bass, one guy bought a set of drums, and we had a band. So I did that for many, many years.
Where was that?
In Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to catch on to playing guitar pretty quickly if you're playing in a band.
A band in one week. Yeah.
It wasn't like we were really any good. I mean, we were down in somebody's basement, you know, playing along, but we learned together. And, you know, it was during the era of the Ventures were big and surf music and stuff like that. So we had like a surf band. I mean, we wore matching white blue jeans and surfer shirts in Detroit.
In Detroit, yeah.
Yeah.
So not that's too, an electrified music too, yeah. I gather.
But, that, you know, and then, you know, I played in rock and roll bands around the Detroit area for about 5 years, 6 years before I came to Minnesota. I you know, there was a big rock scene in Detroit back then, you know, with the MC5 and the Stooges and all these, you know, the Grandy Ballroom was open in Detroit and all the British acts were coming over. And so I was really into rock and roll, and I had a big stack of amplifiers and hair down to my shoulders.
Could you make, at that time, could you make money playing music as far as supporting yourself?
You still can't make any money playing music. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, a six of one, a half dozen of the other. No, you couldn't make any money, but we didn't need money.
Yeah.
You know, as long as there were women around and
you were having fun.
Plenty of beverages.
Groupies.
Well, I mean, you know, we made enough. You know, I didn't really start making any money at all till I moved to Minneapolis and we put the Lamont Cranston band together. And that was about, I think it was in 1969 or 1970, we put that band together, Pat Hayes and I. And then, you know, I worked a day job part of the time, but then we got to the point where we worked enough so we didn't have to work. We just played music.
How'd you happen to find the guys that ended up in that band?
I was visiting my parents in Wayzata, and I had my mom's station wagon, and I was driving in downtown Wayzata, and I saw these hippies standing over by the side of the road, and so I thought, my gosh, I thought I was out in the middle of nowhere, because I was from Detroit, you know. This was like the hinterlands to me. Minnesota was like, you know, it was way out there. And I saw these guys, and I just pulled over, and there were three guys standing there, and I started talking to them, and, you know, where's the action, blah, 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 is there a party going on, whatever. And it was Pat Hayes, the singer, and Larry Hayes, who ended up being the bass player, his brother, and Rick Anderson was hanging out with him, and he's a promoter now. Mm. He still books gigs for me. So it was Rico Anderson and Pat and Larry Hayes, and they said, we're going to go to a jam session over in this guy's basement. And I went over there, and I played some guitar with them, and they go, wow, you really know how to play this stuff. And we didn't really know how to play very well, but we thought we were good. And then we ended up getting gigs around Minneapolis and, you know, down at the Triangle Bar and the Caboose, and we played all those places.
And yeah, what years were those, 69, 70?
Yeah, it was around 70, 71, 72. I was coming back and forth. I'd go to Detroit. There was a band in Detroit I played with for a while. I lived in Ann Arbor for a little while. I mean, I was in the Lamont Cranston band five times. Oh. I got fired two or three times, and I quit twice. So, I mean, I was in and out of that band. I hold the record for being in the band more times than anybody else. My brother was in, I think my brother was in the band 3 times.
Over what period of time are we talking now?
Oh, we're talking over about, probably a 15-year period.
Oh, really?
I mean, I'd play with the band for a year or so. Then I'd go off and play with somebody else. I played with a lot of Chicago blues players. A lot of black musicians back then, because they were all still alive, the mm-hmm. good guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I played with, I was in Luther Allison's band for a while, and I backed up a lot of musicians like Bo Diddley and Luther Tucker and Margie Evans, Pee Wee Creighton. I mean, I played with all these guys at one point or another, and it was like a great proving ground to learn your craft, because these guys were still alive, and they were the real deal.
What kind of venues were you playing?
Bars.
Oh, yeah.
Bars.
Now back Chicago. Then. Back
well,
then.
Well, I played a lot of bars in Chicago, but I played a lot of bars all over the Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, it was pretty wild and woolly, belonging to a band. It's pretty wild and woolly anyway, you know, out there when you're that age that you would have been at that time. Pretty good just to survive those days.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. I mean, geez, I've lost about 10 friends in the last 6 or 7 years that haven't made it, you know, who just really abused themselves to the point where they just died. I mean, early, too, at 55, 56, 57 years old, they're gone, you know. I'm fortunate enough, you know, I got married at the age of 30, and then I had to clean up my act. You know, because I had kids and stuff, so I kind of minded my manners a little bit.
Did that change who you played with then?
Well, what happened was I'd made an album. It's funny, with this record here, this is the first all-electric album I've done in 30 years. The last one I did was with the Lamont Cranston band called Tiger in Your Tank, and that was when I was 35. And we went out and toured after that record for about a year. And then I quit playing music, and I moved up here and built a cabin out in the woods. And then about 5 years later, I moved to Phoenix and started playing in bands again. But I couldn't do it at the age of 40. I just couldn't deal with the band situation. It was untenable. I mean, so that's when I started finger picking and playing solo. And then I ran into Gordon a few years later, and, you know, we ended up playing together, doing quite a few gigs and stuff.
I thought maybe we'd play a song off of your new album, and the name of the CD is New Ground.
Right.
And I believe is the first song also New Ground?
It's New Ground, and it's a funny thing. I wrote all the songs on the CD, and this tune in particular, I wrote it as a rock and roll song. And then Randy Sabine, you know, Randy the Fiddler, he came in the studio, and he goes, you don't tell, the thing about hiring good people is you hire good people so you don't have to tell them what to do. You just keep your mouth shut and let them do whatever it is they do. And Randy came in and he just looks at me and he goes, you know, I'm sort of hearing this. And he plays this stuff on fiddle, and I said, my God, he changed it into a Cajun song. I thought it was a rock and roll tune. I had all these organ parts in my head, and then Randy played that, and we said, okay, we're done. So this is featuring Randy on fiddle.
Great, here we go. This is Bob Bingham and his new album, New Ground, and song titled New Ground.
No.
As a young man, he came to believe the only things he'd ever need were dreams and good intentions to succeed. Getting by was good enough for any task that seemed too tough. So he wandered off to face life aimlessly. At 21, he thought he knew what most men take a lifetime to. And he joined a band so he could play the blues. The drugs and booze did him in. He lost jobs and friends and memory dim. But every now and then the truth slipped through. Cause it's a long, long way from the cradle to the grave. But now we understand. understands why he's still here. She picked him up when he was down, got his head turned back around. Now the road seems straighter than it has in years. His life had hit an all-time low, like others that have lost control. The choices that he made had dragged him down. But being down don't mean you're out if you hang on to ideals that count and never quit no matter what they say. 'Cause it's a long, long way from the cradle to the grave. But now he understands why he's still here. She picked him up when he was down, got his head turned back. She helped him out of where he was. Life's harder when you choose to stand alone. But when you share the path with someone else, it don't matter how you felt. Bad memories just won't fade away. 'Cause it's a long, long way from the cradle.
That great introduction that Bob did for the song New Ground, I played Cradle to the Grave. So, sorry about that, Bob, but maybe you could talk about the song I did play.
Well, that Cradle to the Grave, I wrote that song, I probably wrote that song 15 or 20 years ago, and I put it on one of my first CDs, solo CD, and I never liked it. My wife liked it, my son liked it, but I hated it. And so I took the song and I changed the lyrics and I changed the hook on it, and I came up with a workable method, and then I added instruments. You know, I played it solo on the first record, and now I like it. I mean, I like it. I had to retool the song, and I did that with a couple of tunes. Seven of these songs are absolutely brand new songs, but there's two of them. I-94 Blues is on there, and that's another tune that I put. Actually, I-94 Blues I recorded in Great Britain. on a live album that I did over there some years ago.
Your voice on that song, it's just great. Now, did you sing when you were with some of your, like, Lamont Cranston?
No, they'd never let me sing.
They wouldn't?
They wouldn't let me near the microphone. They were afraid of what I was going to say.
I see.
I mean, I'm like a loose cannon. When you ask Gordy, I mean, you get me near the microphone, and it's like, ah.
What's going to happen? That's why you sit so far away from it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to scare you.
That's why Buck has got his finger on the button.
Yeah, just in case. I can slide
No, I never sang. They never let me sing in the band. You know, I had to teach myself kind of how to sing at the age of 40, and that was a task. I mean, it was singing for me. I find if I write songs, I can sing them. I don't have a problem. It's when I'm doing other people's material that I really run into problems, because I have no range at all in my voice. I'm a baritone, but I mean, yeah. I can't hit highs and lows, so I just got to stay right in the middle.
It's a very rich voice, though.
I have to stay in the shower. That's the only way it sounds good.
Well, you know, nobody likes the sound of their own voice. When you record, I mean, you listen to yourself, and that's not what you think you sound like. Mm-hmm. But the tape doesn't lie.
Well, it sounded great.
I wish I sounded like that.
Yeah, same here. Well, yeah, I wish I did too. And you do, so.
Bob Bingham, old age crooner.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I see that you were traveling with Luther Allison at one point in your career. What's it like to travel with a blues guy like that?
Hell. No, it was actually with Luther. I was on a salary when I played in Luther's band, and you know, it was just when I got married. So I mean, I got married the next day after I was married. I was on the road with Luther. I left my wife the next day. And I was out, and we did a lot of Midwest gigs and stuff, and we, you know, it was a lot of one nighters. And we were all traveling. He had a big van, and you know, it had bunks in it and stuff, but I mean, it's brutal. I mean, it's just, it's not fun. I mean, it's not what you think it is. I mean, I like being at home. I don't really like to travel that much unless I'm going to somewhere interesting. But Peoria, Illinois really isn't that interesting to me.
You got the switch there on him, Buck?
So far, so good.
Yeah, that's right. I think I'll be going down to Peoria in a couple of... I love the people of Peoria. They're the friendliest, nicest people. But anyways, we did a lot of the Midwest circuit, and then he was going to go overseas and do a tour over there, but I decided, you know, it was time to leave, and I came back home and, got a day job for a while and tried to be a husband, and was successfully, because I'm still married.
He's
to the
still
same
married. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. I was afraid to ask.
No, you know, 32 years. 32 years I've been married to two
great
kids. Yeah, I picked the right one. My picker wasn't broke.
But you went back to playing again.
Yes, I did. You know, and I ended up, that's when I ended up, I played in a couple bands at that time. I played in a big swing band called the Bee's Knees. I don't know if you remember those guys. It was like an 8-piece swing band with,
really?
We had 4 horns in the band, and it was we played a lot of jump band music from the 50s and stuff. That was a real popular band around Minneapolis at that time, and I played in that band for a while. And then I went back in Lamont and played in that band for a year and did another album with them, and then I quit for 5 years and came up here and putzed around out in the woods with a chainsaw.
Lamont Cranston, what? Tell us about the name.
Well, when we first had the band, I think I was 21. I was the only guy who was 21 years old in the band. And we didn't have a name for the band. And we were playing down on the West Bank, Cedar Riverside area, outside at some park. And we didn't have a name. And we got up there in our little 4-piece band, and we're playing. And this guy comes up and goes, "Well, what's the name of the band?" And we went, "I don't know. We just started it a couple of weeks ago. We don't really have a name." And he goes, "I've got the name for you. The Lamont Cranston Band." He was the shadow.
The shadow.
And so we thought, okay, cool. You know, and it didn't, until the band got signed. Years later, the band got signed to a contract with RCA Records. And this is when my brother was playing guitar in the band. And they had to, I think they had to buy the rights to the name. They had to get the licensing from somebody.
I bet.
You know, at the time, I don't know what they had to pay for it, but I always hated the name. I never liked it. But
who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
But once you get popular, you just can't change the name.
Yeah.
You could go you to
the that, I know, yeah. Oh, yeah. The band's still together. Mm-hmm. They're still playing. I mean, 40 years later.
That's a great name, actually.
Well, it worked out pretty well. I mean, the band did I think the band recorded 15 albums. I think I was on 3 of them. But no one ever made any money.
What?
Really? Nobody. Nobody made any money. That's the story of the music business. You know, I'm always amazed when I run it. There's one guy I know who I played with by the name of Kim Wilson. And I ran into Kim out in Goleta, California. I don't know if you know who that guy is.
Yeah, he plays with the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, he's in the Fabulous Thunderbirds. I ran into Wilson. This is a good story. I ran into Wilson out in California. I was out there to play in a band with another guy, and that wasn't working out. So I went to a nightclub in Goleta one night, and Wilson was up there playing. And he was just fantastic singer, harmonica player. And I just went up to him at the end of the night, and I said, your band's great and everything, but I said, I'm a lot better than that guitar player you got up there. You should really hire me. And it didn't go over good at all. He looked at me and just goes, oh yeah, beat it, kid, And a week later, I was in the band.
Yeah.
And then we brought it out to Minneapolis. And when we brought the band to Minneapolis, we went through a couple different guitar players and stuff, and we ended up getting a piano player in the band. He came up from Iowa. And that turned out to be Bruce McCabe, who ended up in, of course, Lamont Cranston band. He ended up in Johnny Lang's band. He wrote all the tunes for Johnny Lang's. And Bruce was in our band, Aces, Straights, and Shuffles, at first. And I gave him his first job when he came to Minneapolis. And Bruce plays on this CD 40 years later.
Wow.
I snagged him. I dragged him in there and made That's him play great. On.
You know, maybe we should play that song that we tried to earlier. If you want to describe again to folks who might have just tuned in how Randy Sabin changed how you envisioned your song.
Well, I thought this was a rock and roll tune. I mean, I was playing it in the living room of my cabin up in Isabella, and I thought, okay, we're going to rock out on this baby. And then Randy comes in, and he just starts playing this fiddle part. He goes, this is what I'm hearing. And all of a sudden, Jeremy and I, the producer and the guy who plays drums and guitar, we're looking at each other and going, wow, this sounds like some northern Louisiana Cajun or whatever, And Randy just changed the whole song to suit his fiddle.
We'll see if it comes out now.
Yeah.
I'm gonna walk a little road.
sure worked.
That was nice.
Yeah, was sweet. That's,
you can dance to that kind of music.
You know, that's the commercial side of Bob.
Oh, that's the commercial side. Huh? I see.
That's the commercial. That's the commercial side of Bob.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that. You know, I came up with that one on the couch one day, and I just thought, you know, here we go. We got hit potential here. You know, I could just see the dollar signs floating through the air.
They've eluded you all.
Yes, right. You know, the irony of this stuff is, you know, the really where the money is in music now, it's not in making records. It's not really, you know, for guys like me, it's in licensing. If someone picks up something for a movie or, you know, an advertisement on TV or something like that, that's where the money is. I mean, that's why I don't have a record label. I mean, I'm on my own label. I'm not going to sign with a record label and let them take all the money. Because it's, you know, people now, the record labels are all small now, so you really don't make much money. But
how do you get your music out there?
Well, I've got this CD is going to be on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. I'm marketing it myself through a company, and it'll be sold all over the world. And, of course, I'm a BMI member, so, you know, I'll collect royalties everywhere.
What does that mean, BMI?
Well, BMI is a publishing organization like ASCAP, and they collect royalties for, you know, any...
For plays?
Yeah, for any... or anywhere where it's played. And BMI doesn't really collect in Europe, but the company that I signed up with is going to collect, because I suspect push comes to shove, I'll be going back overseas to play some more here in the near future, because that's where I did most of my gigs as a solo act earlier.
Where?
That's a whole different story.
Where overseas?
I played a lot in Great Britain. I played everywhere in Great Britain. I mean, all the way from Aberdeen, Scotland, down to Plymouth and Wales. And I mean, I did 10 tours over there and played in Ireland and played in Holland. But Great Britain's got a special thing for me. I mean, I just love going there. Yeah. And
you like the culture?
Like the culture. I like the people. You can play every night of the week. There's tons of gigs for solo guys. If you're a band, you're going to run into some problems, but because the money isn't that good. But for a solo guy, I could do pretty well. I mean, I made two or three times the amount of money I could make over here, and it was easy booking gigs. You only go in 75 miles down the road. I mean, there's 60 million people on an island the size of Alabama, you know.
Sure.
So you're not driving 300 miles between gigs like here. And the British people are great.
Yeah.
So, I'll probably be going back over there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to change any of your music? When do you just play what you play?
Well, I wrote all these tunes finger style on guitar. So, you know, they're not going to sound the same, but they're pretty close. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you look on the CD, I play finger style guitar in every one of these songs except for Chuck Wagon. And that I played baritone guitar on that, but that's a whole different story. But, you know, I'm finger picking on every one of these songs.
And that's what you'll be doing when you go play?
Yeah. You just won't have Randy along or, you know, some of the other guys.
Yeah.
Or the pedal steel.
No, I wanted to do a band record because I wanted these songs to come to life, have a little more life to them. And,
sure.
So, you know.
You got one more that you're going to...
We do have, I think it's the... seventh one on the CD.
It coulda, woulda, shoulda. Is that the one?
That's the one.
Okay, this is another one that's got... This is a horrible story of non-redemption from the use of excessive drugs and alcohol. This is a non-redeeming story. So.
Who could that have been then?
It wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't me. I deny everything.
Okay, well, we'll go with that one. And we're going to listen to that right now.
Could have been, should have been, would have been better. hooked him. That was nearly enough. Stayed up all night with a bottle and a pipe, believing that it was what it was. Could have been a doctor or a lawyer, should have been a politician or a judge. Would have had a house with a wife and kids, instead of living like the way that it was. He hung around with the wrong kind of people. He didn't care if he paid his rent, because his welfare check came once a month. When it arrived, it was already spent. If somebody else had more than him, it was because they cheated a lie. His delusional, emotional, messed up mind just refused to keep him satisfied. Could have been, should have been, would have been better than he was. He could have been, should have been, would have been better than he was. But dying was easy and working was too hard. His friends all tried to tell him he could have been better than he was. Staying at life through the bowl of a pipe, you don't care about nothing but yourself. The future took the place of the present, the past disappeared in a haze. Time stood still while his life ticked on, and the nights turned into the days. He could have been, should have been, would have been better than he was. He could have been, should have been, would have been better than he was. Stayed up all night and he laid in his bed all day. He dreamed he was what he wasn't. What he felt was only a lie. And when they laid him down in a hole in the ground, he still wasn't satisfied. Could have been, should have been, would have been better than he was. He could have been, should have been, would have been better than he was. But dying was easy and way too hard.
I suppose that's a composite of a number of people.
That's just to show you the old man can still rock it up.
There you go. That was Bob Bingham from his new album. And I'm calling it album. Is it still legal to call them albums, or I should say CD, or who
I
knows
call
what?
It an album. I don't know. You know, what do I know? I grew up with vinyl.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
so did I.
Stuff is like, you know, this stuff is like hieroglyphics to me.
Mm. I mean, new ground. And that's available just about anywhere. So is it out now?
Well, yeah, it is. You can pick them up at any gigs you happen to run into me at, but it's also on Amazon.com. It's on CD Baby and iTunes. You can buy single cuts, or you can buy the whole thing, or you can get a solid copy of it from CD Baby, too.
Mm-hmm. It sounds great.
Yeah,
you put together some great musicians, and, of course, your voice just sounds... of course, you are professional. I mean, it's just great. It sounds really good in these three cuts that we heard.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a lot of fun making it. And we didn't spend, you have to make a lot of tactical decisions rather quickly. And we made them quickly. And I'm real happy with the product we got. I'm real happy with the way it came turned out. And we'll see what everyone else has to say about it.
Yeah,
I
was just going to mention that I think that some of these songs are going to be heard on the Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah,
in upcoming.
Sure.
Definitely, it's going
you're
on.
Gonna
my,
wanna put, you're
going to
want
to
put. Well, you're going to want to put Chuck Wagon on there for sure.
Well, we're gonna listen to that. Bob, are you playing anywhere soon that we should be
Wednesday
talking
night?
About?
Wednesday night at Bluefin with okay. Gordy. Gordy
so
and I. And
this coming Wednesday, that's where yep. you can see Bob in person.
Sure.
Bob, I want to thank you for coming all the way from Isabella. To visit
hey,
with us.
There's nothing going on up in Isabella. I was more than happy to get in the car and come down here.
He looks just as good as he sounds, too.
That's folks. Right. Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Bob.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.